This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan.
Welcome to episode 112 of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I'm here in the home of my cohort, bandmate, engineer, the guy who takes all of my uhs and throat clearings and stuttering out, at least most of it. This is Brian Hoogenboom. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Lawrence. What's up?
Well, we got a great show tonight, as Ed Sullivan used to say.
Really good show.
Wonderful guest who has devoted her entire adult life to serving the people of Brazil and the world. But we'll get to that in a minute. I want to start out with a song that our band does. And you have a prominent part in this song because you are the Chinkmeister.
I'm the Chinkmeister.
The king of the guitar chinks. Nobody can do a guitar chink like you can. Can you explain to the people what a guitar chink is? It's hard to put in words.
How technical do we want to get with this? It's just a quick staccato chord, usually up high, usually only two notes in a chord, so it's a dyad if you want to go there.
It adds a lot,
and it usually kind of linked up with the snare drum to kind of emphasize the two and four.
It adds a lot. I'm so glad we got two guitar players. So you are the one playing the chinks. Mm-hmm. It's like Texas Pete or salt and pepper. You just add that spice to the song. Anyway, this is based on scripture. It's called I Can Do All Things Through Christ.
Philippians 4:13.
Great.
I've been well. I've been sick. I've been first and the last one picked. I've had plenty and I've gone without. I've had faith and I've had some doubt. I've had friends and I've stood alone. I've been weak, I've been strong. I've been slandered and I've been praised. Been admired and called a disgrace. One thing I know, one thing I see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've had potential to reach the top. Been a has-been, I've been a flop. I've been ripped off and I've been blessed. But at this point in my life, I've got to confess. One thing I know, one thing strengthens me. I've been through the fire and I've been through the flood. I've learned from it all. It's worked out for my good. In everything I've ever had to face, God gave the grace to see me through. Christmas man.
I want to play a song called Springtime, even though it's in January. I wrote this song when I was in my 20s, and it was all about the newness of a relationship with God. And I just talked about the spring. I put it aside for many decades, and suddenly I realized I was in my late 60s. And I liked the tune, so this song now is about going through all the seasons, a long walk with the Lord, and the thing about winter, it's always followed by spring. So this is Springtime with an amazing sax player. Brian, we have a really great guest tonight named Rachel Ferguson out of Indiana. I've been really challenged in the last couple of years in the whole area of missions. I think we've kind of gone by the wayside a little bit with this issue. It was really important to Jesus. The last thing he said was, "You shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, all the way to the ends of the earth." And they took it seriously. After he ascended into heaven, even doubting Thomas, people talk about what a doubter he was, but he took the gospel further than anybody, all the way to India. And but it seems to me like in our day, people aren't that excited about missions. I don't know if it's the word or whatnot, but it just, people don't seem to be that excited about it. Am I right or am I wrong?
I guess.
I hope you say I'm wrong.
No, well, I don't know. I guess it kind of depends on, where you are, who you're talking to, but I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong at all. I think emphasis has shifted. I do think some people feel like we've been everywhere as far as that goes. And then there's the whole mindset of the going into the jungle and living in the tents and all that kind of stuff. So there's missions and then there's missions, you know, and I think maybe it's got a different face than it once did, as the world has, we'll say, quote unquote, civilized in more places.
Well, I think maybe what you're saying really, I mean, it hit a nerve. Maybe it's a thing of emphasis. It's not the big deal anymore. Whereas I think in Jesus' day, that was the thing that sent them all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to me like people look at it as another little program. And you said something earlier when I came over to figure out how to do this thing. You said that sometimes people don't like the idea of being a servant in regards to missions. They might be needed just to wash dishes or do some menial task. And when you say mission trip, I think people want to go on something really exciting, and sometimes it's just grunt work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of the at least the connotation of mission work is to go out and seek out people and to witness to them and try to make converts on the trip.
Yeah.
When what they need people to do is to just go and serve.
Right.
Go and live with and among the people in their day in and day out lives, experience what they're experiencing, help them with what they need help with. No preconceived notions of, I know what you need and I'm going to bring that, but instead meeting them where they are and doing what they're doing and then speaking Jesus in the moment.
Right.
I just think that a lot of people, when they think about missions, don't necessarily think of it like that. They think of it as going out to save the masses, and it's more,
yeah,
the message is better received when you're living the way they live and you're among them the way they are.
Yeah, well, like in the old days, you had foreign missionaries. And so Americans went out there and did everything. And sometimes we try to teach American culture as well. And now that's kind of changed. We go and help those who are already doing the thing. Now, haven't already doing the works. Instead of us doing it, we assist them and facilitate them. And in the last couple of years, I have become involved with a group called World Renewal. And it's really changed my life in the last 2 years because it's given me more of a world vision. I've never been on a mission trip. Can you believe that? I've never been on a mission trip. I think maybe I ought to. But there's a story about the man who started the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination. He was a great man of vision for the world. Somebody stumbled into his office, or not stumbled, they walked in unannounced one day to his office and he was holding a globe to his heart, just holding it and crying, and just crying for the world. And that's what I want to have. I want to have that kind of passion. And this group, World Renewal, has helped me a lot. So our guest tonight is Rachel Ferguson, who has given herself to serving in Brazil since she was 21 years old. She's about 40 now. And we just had a great conversation. And so I want everybody to meet my friend, Rachel, who I call God's cheerleader. I got to know my guest today about 2 years ago through a wonderful missions organization that we are both involved in called World Renewal out of Greenfield, Indiana. So my guest today is Rachel Ferguson. Now, you work for World Renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your job description?
Yes. Well, it's actually kind of interesting because it has two different parts. So I served in Brazil for 10 years as a single missionary and then 7 years with my family. And then when we, during COVID, lots of things changed. And as we were coming back from Brazil to, there was a whole process and lots of different reasons for that. But the ministry in Brazil asked if I could become the representative for Brazil in the United States. So especially with the pandemic changing how you can travel, who can travel, a lot of things being up in the air, they needed someone to be in the States who knew what it was like, who could represent all of the families. I mean, we have 17 families with 7 more candidates who are working towards being a part of the missionary family. So there's a lot of different people that I represent in Brazil. And I do that by sharing about what's going on in Brazil, social media, talking to the current donors, working, asking for new donors to help support financially, prayerfully, to go in person. We have a wonderful trip planned this summer to go to Brazil. And when anybody from Brazil comes visits to the United States, I also help get them meetings and make sure they have places to stay and transportation. So basically, all of the connecting factors between the ministry in Brazil and the ministry and the people and donors in the United States. So that's my main job. But as I was coming back to the States, they also asked if I could take on the role of head of publications. And I honestly had no idea how much I would love this second part of my job. I knew from since I was very young that I was called to Brazil. And so I knew I wanted to be the representative for Brazil in the United States, but being the head of publications has been just an added delight and bonus. So that's basically running the website and the social media and all the print publications that we do as well for not just Brazil, but all of our missionaries in 56 I think it's 61 countries. Gary was giving me a new count. All of our countries that World Renewal serves in around the world. And that has been so cool because I get to tell the stories of what God is doing. And since I've been a missionary myself, I have more of a lens to explain it through American eyes for American audience, but still understanding the nuances of being a missionary and what that means as well.
Great. Now, we can see your work on Instagram and Facebook, right? If we go to, is it World Renewal? Is that the site we go to?
Yep. Well, it's worldrenewal.org is the website, and that's our main hub that I would love to send you to. Yeah. But Instagram, it's World Renewal. Facebook, it's World Renewal. It's pretty easy to find. YouTube, it's World Renewal.
So let me talk about you a little bit. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
Well, I am currently sitting in Indianapolis and I was born in Indianapolis. So full circle back, I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, to a wonderful Christ-loving family that raised me well and basically stayed mostly in Indiana and then went to a missions trip with my youth group in 1999 And that was my first time abroad and serving that way. And I just fell in love.
Did you go to Brazil on that trip?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That was to Brazil.
So did you go to a big church?
It wasn't too big. We actually, when I was 5 years old, my family started going to Community Church of Greenwood. And that was actually the first community church. And a couple months after they started going there, Community Church of Greenwood planted a new church, Community Church of Southport, that was close to where we lived. And my parents loved the idea of local ministry. They helped start that church plant, Community Church of Southport. It's now called Life Point. And then I grew up within the community churches. That's how I met Telly from Brazil. That's how I met World Renewal, was through the community churches.
Okay. So you were brought in, you said, a Christ-centered home. So did you come to the Lord as a child?
I did. I was 7 years old, and I distinctly remember sitting on the couch and my parents explaining what it meant, because I was very worried about going to hell. That was my personality.
Yeah.
Very worried child. And they were explaining to me that I didn't need to fear. I didn't need to worry, and what the gift that God had provided through his son and salvation and sanctification. And obviously I didn't at all when I was seven, but I do remember giving my heart to Jesus and knowing that if I would have died, I would have gone to heaven that night.
So are your parents still alive?
Yes, they are. And I am so grateful. After 17 years being mostly abroad, it's been such a blessing to my life to have this phase of life where I am 10 minutes away from their home. I get to see them multiple times every week. My children get to grow up now close to their grandparents.
Yeah. I think your phone's cutting in and out, but I think we're okay. So I know you have two daughters. I think you've got two daughters, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're married. How long have you been married?
Well, it's going to be 10 years this November. We're excited about celebrating our 10-year anniversary. Almost everybody asks me, well, since you were in Brazil for so long, you married a Brazilian, right? And when I tell them, no, I married a Jamaican, they get very confused.
And what is his name?
His name is Cade Ferguson, C-A-I-D. It's a bit of a different name.
So you came to the Lord as a child. Grew up in Indianapolis, got married 10 years ago, two kids. What drew you to Brazil specifically? I know you said you went on that first trip there. Did you know, like, from the start that, oh, this is the place I'm going to go?
Not really. That is definitely... There's what you choose and then how life circumstances work together with choices. I had always loved missionary stories. I had grown up on missionary stories. I'd grown up going to church and seeing all the pictures of the missionaries we supported, you know, with the little yarn thumbtacks of where they are located in the world. And that made a huge impression on me. And so we had a lot of missionaries come to our church as I grew up and speak. And I definitely always wanted to go on a missions trip. And so really this trip to Brazil was the first opportunity I had. I was finally old enough. I was able to work for some of the money. I was able to raise the money from amazing people who supported me that trip and for continued on. And I don't think I realized when I went at 16, it was going to be such a huge thing. I just thought it was the next step that I was just obeying God in. But after I came back from Brazil, of course, I loved it. I loved the experience. It was wonderful. But when I came back, I don't know if you've studied up a lot about culture shock. I actually didn't have a lot of culture shock. I had reverse culture shock. When I came back to the States and saw the differences between what I had seen in Brazil. I realized that there was a whole different way of doing life. There was a whole nother country out there with people who love Jesus and, you know, just the differences. And it was just a lot coming back to the States and reconciling that in my 16-year-old mind that also wasn't fitting in. And there, about 3 months after I came back, Telly actually came to the States to speak to our youth group. It was a really special time in our youth group that God used, I would call it like a mini revival, where there was just a lot of prayer, and prayer turned into confession of sins and a brokenness, and a renewal of God's Spirit. And during this time, I was crying, you know, and 16, I went to the bathroom to hide my red nose because I was like, I look so ugly when I cry. And I was there in the bathroom, you know, blowing my nose, washing my face. And right there at that sink, this is the only time in my whole life I have ever felt something so clearly. I just felt, I don't know if it was an audible voice or in my heart voice, but I just felt God say, Brazil is yours. Just those three simple words. And I had no clue what that meant. I had no clue why. I was like, why is God saying this? I'm not even thinking about Brazil right now. But that was a seed planted in my heart. And I wasn't able to go back to Brazil after that time until for 5 years.
Five long
summers. I was at home. I was doing some college. I was graduating high school. There was a lot of things happening in my life. But especially my father encouraged me. He said, don't forget what God told you when you were 16. Don't forget. You told me that you felt that strongly, that God had given you that, that God had said Brazil was yours, that that was your calling. Don't give up on that. So when I was 21, I went back as an intern for 3 months. And basically after that, they couldn't get rid of me.
Oh, that's great.
Just kept coming back to Brazil anytime I could.
My grandson and I, we're on the podcast just a few days ago, and we talked about how to hear the voice of God. How do you know it's God's will? And we took a trip to Atlanta after that, and we began talking that I forgot to say this on the podcast, but that the will of God, Dave Wilkerson wrote, the will of God grows on you, that if you just give it some time to pray about it and think about it, if it's just your own, just a little whim in your mind or your own mind telling you Brazil is yours, that burden, that thought will begin to sort of fade and it won't be mm-hmm. as real. But if it's really the Lord, it will probably grow and grow. So did it keep growing over those 5 years?
Oh, definitely. It definitely did. And in small ways and big ways, I kept in contact with Telly over those 5 years. I was constantly trying to learn more about Brazil. You know, it was kind of like a buzzword if I heard it. My father got me a Portuguese, you know, those Rosetta Stone to learn a little more yeah. Portuguese. I didn't do them very well, but I had them, you know. So yes, it was definitely a thing. I started taking some missions classes at college, which I had not thought about missions at all. I was going for counseling. So it was so interesting to see how God was turning and growing that seed in me over those years.
Right. So did you graduate from college and then go to Brazil?
Well, it was kind of a both thing. I did an associate's degree program, and then I went to Brazil. And while I was in Brazil, they started making plans to start an international school. So I was like, well, if you're doing an international school and you're asking me to teach, I should probably learn how to teach. So while I was sometimes when I was in Brazil, I did online classes. And then when I was in the States, because I had problems with my visa, I could only go the first 5 or 6 years I was in Brazil. I could only be there for 6 months out of the year because I had a tourist visa, but I couldn't get a permanent visa or a student visa until I could study in Portuguese. So,
wow.
I was going back and forth, and as I went back and forth, I was going to college, getting my associate's degree in education, and then finally, it took me almost 10 years, but then I got my bachelor's degree in general education.
So what did you teach when you went down to Brazil?
English. I'm really okay. good at it.
And you taught English in Portuguese.
Yes. Yeah, so it's teaching English as a foreign language, which is a bit different than teaching English as a second language. And it's a bit different from just English that you would get here as a first language. I did a lot of teaching English in the communities, in the different churches. We had lots of different opportunities. There were lots of people who just wanted to pick my brain as the American native who spoke English so well. And then I also taught at the international school. I taught English, but not just English. A lot of times they would have me teach, for example, music class in English. So I would do whatever they would do for a regular music class in Portuguese, but I would do it in English so that they would be able to basically apply their language skills to a subject they already understood. I also did some science classes in English. I did, you know, some activities in English. So we, at the international school, they worked hard to really integrate the English into many different subjects, which I think is so important for learning another language really well.
Do they speak a different dialect of Portuguese in Brazil than, say, in Portugal?
Yes, they do. It's called Brazilian Portuguese, and you can definitely tell the difference. The accents change, just like difference between English and American English, or even Southern English, America and Southern America English.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yes. Actually, it's really funny because Brazilians can tell that I learned Portuguese in northern Brazil because I have a northern Brazilian accent.
Wow.
A northern Portuguese Brazilian accent. So, yes, there's a lot of accents that play in. Pastor Asuario, who is our missionary from Brazil to Mozambique, he was just telling me some of the differences between Mozambican Portuguese and Brazilian Portuguese. And I was like, wow, that's so interesting how the accents change.
It sure is. So, I mean, some of the people listening don't really know who you mean when you say Telly. Can you sort of introduce who he is to whoever's listening? Who is this guy named Telly?
Who is this guy named Telly?
He's a great guy, by the way.
Yes. He is a Brazilian who grew up, and someone invited him to a Word of Life camp when he was a teenager. Through that camp, he got saved. He decided he wanted to serve the Lord in missions, so he became a Word of Life missionary who ended up coming to the U.S., to New York, Scroon Lake, Word of Life, and from there doing an internship in Indianapolis, actually at Brookville Road Community Church. So he got connected with everybody through there who introduced him to World Renewal in 1993. He became partners with World Renewal. So they became World Renewal Brazil, and so he is the director, founder, and president of the Ministry of World Renewal in Brazil. And it's been amazing in the past. So it's 30 years this year that they've celebrated that he's head that up, and the ministry has just flourished. It's first of all a church planting ministry, and we've planted over 35 churches in those 30 years. So just to see all of those generations grow up, and I've been a part of it since 1999. So I've been able to see so many of the leaders who, you know, were kids in these churches that they planted, who are now the pastors of new churches being planted. It's absolutely incredible.
That's great. Now, you and I are part of a Zoom international prayer group every Thursday. And that's just an amazing time for me. I look forward to it every week. But we kind of run the whole gamut. We talk about Brazil, and things are really happening in Brazil, like you said. I mean, big things. And then you have people that represent oppressed, persecuted countries, and it's such a wide spectrum of what God is doing in different parts of the world. So, I mean, you have a big school. They just bought some property, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, in 2000, they bought what is now the headquarters of World Renewal Brazil. It's called the Alcance. And that was a hotel that they have turned into an international school. It is also a seminary. It is also a church, two churches. One church meets on Saturday night. One church meets on Sunday morning. They just have every square inch of that property being used for a ton of different things. And so last year, it's a new year now. Last year, they have dreamt for so many years for having a camp that we could open up as a day camp for public schools to be able to come in. And so instead of going out to all of the communities are actually coming to us. And so they've built up relationships with the school administrators and principals that they actually have permission for 26,000 students who are in busing busing distance from the campground to be able to be bused in. So we're not even paying for their transportation. The school says, hey, we believe in what you're doing. We want to give our kids a fun time because, of course, there's soccer and there's swimming and all the different activities. But it's also sitting down and hearing about Jesus. They break out into small groups and they have these local leaders who are passionate about Jesus sit down in a circle with these kids, these public school kids, and share about Jesus and ask what they can pray for. And then they also have chaplains who are working in a lot of these schools who can follow up. So it's a really neat ministry. This camp can also be used for the different churches that have been planted to have a retreat area for the Living Stones programs. That's child sponsorship in the local churches that they work with the kids the poorest kids in the community to enable them to be able to get the schooling and tutoring and food and nutrition that they need. It's a place for all of those different people to come and enjoy as well. So it's a super multi-purpose camp that is just amazing. And I have no clue how much God is going to use this in the future, but it's going to be big.
Okay, two questions. I know that Brazil is in a lot of turmoil right now politically. Mm-hmm. Every day I read in the news, and I know we don't talk politics on this show, but how can we pray for the body of Christ in Brazil?
Yeah, it's a lot of upheaval, and it's a lot of disagreements and figuring out how to love people even when we disagree with them. That's a really, really hard thing, especially when the political climate grows really, really hot and there's hot button topics that you step on a landmine really, really easily. But how can the love of God overcome those, you know, anger issues to reveal the deeper truth of that he is our unity within the church, and he is our salvation for those who are outside of the church.
Great answer. That was a great answer.
Thank you.
Could never You remember the story that Telly told at the annual gathering of World Renewal about the lady who was hostile? They were planting a church in a little village, or I think it was a little village, and there was one lady who was hostile when they went door to door. Do you remember that story? If not, I'll tell it.
I'd rather you tell it. There's a lot of different stories that start that way.
Well, there was a lady, most of the town was very friendly to the people who were starting the church. I think they went door to door. There was one lady that was very hostile, and she slammed the door and wanted nothing to do with them. Well, the person planning that church, I guess, was... had already moved there or something like that. Anyway, he went home and told his wife what had happened. And so they prayed for this lady, and his wife just felt the Lord leading her to bake a cake.
Oh, yes, I do remember this story now.
To bake a cake. And they took the cake over to the lady, knocked on the door, and said, "We have a cake for you." And she burst into tears, and I guess they didn't have any food in the house. And they didn't know what they were going to do for food. And just that kind act of love did as much as a sermon would have done. And she melted and I think probably became part of the church.
That's a story from one of our newest church plants in Limoeiro. That's beautiful.
So do you like Brazilian music?
I do. I mean, there's some that I like better than others, same as American music, but most of Brazilian music is very upbeat and cheerful, and I appreciate that.
Have you ever been to Ipanema?
I have been.
You're probably too young to know that song, right?
What?
You're probably too young to know that song. The girl.
Oh, I've heard it. It's hard to live in Brazil that long and not hear of the girl from Ipanema.
Oh, so. That's a great song. Great song.
Yes.
And tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes ah.
And then there was another song that came out from Brazil called One Note Samba. Have you ever heard that one?
I'm sure I have. I've heard a lot of samba music.
Well, the whole song, most of the song is one note.
Uh-huh.
But with a lot of different chords, it's really, really neat. Have you ever heard of the Bossa Nova?
Oh, yes. Well,
have you ever danced it?
I am not a great dancer. My husband is, so I often follow him.
Yeah.
But samba, and it's so interesting about Brazil is that different regions have their own rhythms. Like Recife, the city that we are close to, we're about an hour away from the big city of Recife, where we work in Brazil. And Recife's own rhythm is called the frevo. So if you go to Recife, especially around carnival time, which is coming up in February, they have it all decorated with like little umbrellas, which is part of the dance. It's like it's kind of a very acrobatic dance with a little bitty umbrella that you kind of jump up and down with. And it's just incredible to me to think of, oh, my goodness, they have their own rhythm for this city. But yes, the Brazilian people are very full of rhythm, and it's very musical and in movement. It's a beautiful thing.
I know we've got to wrap this up in a few minutes, but let's go back to when you felt in the bathroom, the Lord spoke to you and said, Brazil is yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how he chooses odd places to speak. You're getting the teardrops off your makeup, and all of a sudden you hear this thing.
Uh-huh.
Did you tell your parents right away, or did you tell your friends, or did anybody think you were crazy?
I didn't tell my friends. I probably thought they might think I was a little crazy. I was still thinking I was a little crazy. I did go home and tell my parents, and I am just so grateful for their response and confirmation of that. They were just so supportive. They've been so supportive over the years. Even when it meant being far away from their grandchildren, when their grandchildren were young, they were always 100% behind me and my family following the Lord's call for us.
That's so great. So many people don't have that.
Yeah.
With their parents.
I was so grateful. I got to go back to Brazil last year, lead a trip. I plan on going back this year, leading a trip. And it's just incredible. Every time I go back, there is just such a special grace and peace and love that God gives me for Brazil every single time. And I kind of wait and see every time, is it going to happen again? Is it going to happen again? And it does every time. And I know that's not something I can do.
Yeah, it stays. It's not just a whim. It stayed with you all these years. I've always called you God's cheerleader. And it's obvious even in this interview. You were born to be a cheerleader. But you told me you were not a cheerleader, right?
No, I was homeschooled.
And you told me that, and this is very hard for me to believe, that you were sort of shy at one time. And
I was a very, very shy child. I was confident around those I knew, but if I was in any kind of situation that I was not familiar, I mean, imagine going to another country. I instantly was very unsure of myself and very shy. And, you know, that's been something that, you know, God completely transformed to where I can trust him. I don't have to be scared in those new situations.
Did that happen suddenly like an experience with the Lord, or was it just over a period of time you just slowly came out of your shell?
It was slowly came out of my shell. I think in high school, you know, going to Brazil was very impactful for me when I was 16. And then coming back, and I think just the more that I learned that my life was the Lord's and not mine, the less I had to worry about controlling it or being scared of the outcome, because it wasn't my life anymore. It belonged to the Lord.
Very good answer. You're so good. You come up with the best answers. Yeah. But I think you are a cheerleader. And I always thought it must be a terrible load and burden for cheerleaders to always be peppy all the time. But you know, if you're having a bad day, you still have to go out there and be peppy. But I've never seen you not peppy. You've been peppy every time I've ever seen you.
Well, it's pretty easy to be peppy at that prayer meeting, because it's a really encouraging, incredible thing.
Yes, it is. And I guess I want to close on talking about that for just a few more minutes. One thing that I've noticed just talking to people throughout my life is when you say the word missions, a lot of people just seem to just turn the conversation off. It's there's something about it that the average person in church, I think they start thinking, oh, it's just a program, or it's something they're going to try to get my money or whatever. It somehow, I think a lot of churches have lost the sense that that's a very important part of the church. When I was a kid, almost every church had what they called a women's missionary society. And then it sort of changed to women's ministries, which is great. But it doesn't seem like the average Christian has this this great sense of importance of missions. And I always tell people it was the very last thing Jesus said before he ascended into heaven. It was his last words: go into all the world. Have you found that to be the case with a lot of churches that you've seen here in America?
Yeah, well, I would say even more with individuals than with churches. Yeah. I think in general, a lot of churches have a desire to do missions, whether or not it actually happens. I think the desire is more there. But with individuals, I think each person has a different connection with the word missions, and
absolutely,
what it has meant. So for a lot of people, you know, they have seen missions done wrong, unfortunately, and or had a bad experience with or heard a story of someone who had a bad experience with missions, whether that was mishandling finances, whether that was colonialism, which is a horrible, weight and burden. And we do, as a church and individuals and as Christians, need to critique the past of how we have wrongly applied missions.
I mean,
there is no way we've gotten it all right. We are flawed people. And responding well to criticism and then correcting is very, very important, but it's really, really hard. So I think a lot of people have this connection with the word missions that is not positive. And that's really heartbreaking. But I think if we can learn the heart of God and see his heart for missions, and disentangle it from what we've learned from human fallacy. I think there's a lot of really beautiful, I know there's a lot of really beautiful things that are happening today around the world with missions, and just understanding God's heart for everyone. You know, once we understand God's heart for ourselves, then we are free to understand that he doesn't just have that heart for me. He has that heart for everyone. And if he has that heart for everyone, then he has called me to be his hands and feet to serve those people,
right,
near and far.
Right. I know a guy in Indiana who preached about God's love for the whole world. And I think that's another thing, just like you're saying, if we can get our eyes off programs, I think sometimes you hear missions, you think of some sort of organization or some sort of program or method or whatever, instead of people, instead of, you know, we love everybody and God loves everybody. But anyway, he saw a picture, a photograph of the Earth from outer space. Some of the astronauts took pictures. And he confessed that it bothered him because the picture was of the eastern hemisphere, not the western. And it bothered him that the United States wasn't the center of the globe there. We thought, wait a minute, this isn't right. Uh-huh. America should be in the center. And it was just a reminder to him, no, wait a minute. We aren't the only thing happening in the world. That God is really for the whole world. And so how do we change that in people's minds?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, definitely that's a heart change that God can do. I've definitely found it helpful to leave the country, to go to a country where they do not speak your language, where you are not the center. As I said, we have trips available this summer for anyone who'd like to go. I'm putting a little plug in there.
Great.
Like to go to Brazil and see how what God is doing there. A different culture, a different community, a different language. It can help you put things more into perspective and decentralize, I think, your own story, not to make the Brazilian story the center or Mexican story the center or European story the center, to make God's story the center.
Well, hey, it's been great talking to you. Is there anything that I haven't covered that you would like to share?
Not really. Maybe just letting people know that we at World Renewal so appreciate you as well and how powerful the prayer meeting time is. As Gary says, you really get to know a person when you hear them pray. And I know that is 100% true about you, Lawrence. I have been so grateful, so blessed by your prayers in prayer meeting and seeing what God is doing in your life. It's just a really beautiful thing. I can't not be a cheerleader for that.
Well, so you're an encourager. I appreciate you saying that, and the same applies towards you. Thank you again for doing this on a short notice, and I will talk to you again in 3 days.
All right. Sounds good.
At the Zoom meeting. God bless.
All right. You too.
Thanks.
Coming.
pierced him